All right, take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 9. Joshua, chapter 9. We're going to read the first 9 verses together, and then I'm going to jump to a little bit farther down in the chapter, and we'll pick up with 3 other verses later in the chapter, but we'll read verses 1 through 9 responsively. Joshua chapter 9, we're going to read verses 1 through 9 together responsively. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them. And all the beard of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us. How shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country. Thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Now skip down to verse 18. If you'll join me on verse 18, I'll read verse 19, and we'll finish on verse 20. All right? We'll read it responsively, but in reverse. Here we go, verse 18 together. Ready? And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto the congregation, We have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them, we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And let's pray. Father, please, would you help us tonight? Lord, a very, very important truth tonight. Something that someone in this room needs, many someone, so that they don't ruin their life. Lord, would you please help us? There are so many needs, just scores and scores and scores of people here. There's no way this poor preacher could reach their needs, but you could have let the Holy Spirit work through your word, work through this man to meet their needs. Would you please do that in Jesus' name? Amen. And you may be seated. Here in Joshua chapter 9, let me catch you up to speed with where we are in Scripture. Of course, for 40 years, Moses has led the people through the wilderness. Had they obeyed God immediately, they would have been in the promised land probably almost all of those 40 years. But because they disobeyed God and they would not take to the promised land immediately, God caused them to wander. Everybody over the age of 20 died. Their children and grandchildren that were born in the wilderness, they went into the promised land. Moses, in an act of anger, lost his ticket to the promised land and dies shortly just before they go in. Moses' assistant, Joshua, takes the reins. If you went to Joshua chapter 1, he said, God gave Moses the words, and we're going to fulfill what God gave Moses to do because that's what he wants us to do. By the way, this church was given a directive over 2,000 years ago. We're going to fulfill it. See, it's not newfangled fundamentalism. It's the same old way. We don't need modernism. We need God's way. We don't need man's way. We need God's way. Here they are, and God said, Joshua, this is what you're going to do. As you cross, you're going to go in and take Jericho first. Jericho was that walled city. We know the story. They crossed 3.5 to 5 million Jews. He said, now, if you'll do what I tell you, everything will be okay. He said, once a day for 6 days, I want you to take the entire troop of the Israeli camp and march around the wall. Once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, I want you to march around 7 times. On the seventh time, and on that day, the priests will be carrying the Ark of the Covenant. On the seventh time, I want the priests to blow the trumpets. I want you to have the Ark of the Covenant going before you. And at that moment, watch what happens. And we know the story, and the walls came tumbling down. Amen? And they went in and took Jericho. They were not supposed to keep any of it. It was for the building of the temple. It was for the building of God's people. And they were to use all of that for God's work. It was a tithe city, by the way. That's why you tithe the first 10%. It's not the quality, it's the quantity, and which quantity. The first check you write should be the tithe check. Not for me, but for God's sake. Now, they then go to Ai. They have a little uh-oh there because of Achan, who at Jericho took a couple changes of clothes and a wedge of gold. And they went to Ai and got whooped. And Joshua said, something's wrong. God promised we wouldn't get whipped if we obeyed. Somebody's not obeying here. And he found out who it was. They killed Achan and Achan's family. They went back to Ai and whooped up on them. They start going through there. Yeah, they start going through there, and they're starting to tear it up. And God is causing Israel to be feared amongst all the different peoples that have been indwelling there in the Promised Land. We read in verse 1, you got the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Mosquitobites, and all the other guys, all right? You got all these ites people here, and they're becoming more and more afraid of these Jews because they're seeing God destroying these cities for them. A group of people called the Gibeonites. They were a ruthless group of people. They got together and said, let's see if we can spare ourselves. What they did was they came up with this plan. They were going to put all of their old, nasty, dirty work clothes on. Amen? You know, fellas, those clothes that your wife doesn't want anybody to see you wear because they're just so bad. You know, the ones that we think are comfortable. They said, look, you put the nastiest old clothes on, clean out your cupboards, ladies, and get all the moldy bread and all the stuff out of the refrigerator that looks like a science project. You know, it's got its own penicillin growing on it. You know, health food. And get all those things. We'll get all of our things and put into the worst that we have, and we'll make it look like we've come on a long journey and we want to yoke up and help the Jews conquer the land. And maybe they'll do that and they won't kill us. They do that. Here's the thing. If you went back to the book of Joshua, God told Joshua, make no league with anybody. Don't yoke up with anybody. Just obey me. If you'll just obey, everything will be all right. Joshua and the princes or those under him listened to what they said. If we would have read verses 10 through 17, we'll not read it right now, you'll find out that the Israelites did join up with the Gibeonites. Because they swear by the name of the Lord God, they said, we can't go back on that. They had to allow these Gibeonites into what they were and what they were doing so as to not go back against God's word. These Gibeonites became a thorn in their flesh to this day. These Gibeonites, if you were to go to a place called the Gaza Strip today, you have a lot of turmoil between the Egyptians and the Jews and the Muslims and the Jews. Those are some of the Gibeonites. Those are the same people. They're still causing trouble in the world today. Now, Joshua did not listen to God. He listened to the people. He listened to his emotions. He listened to what he thought might be a good deal to get some extra help. And he did not listen to what God said. Joshua makes an unholy friendship or an unholy league, an unholy association that literally is still causing troubles today. I want to help you tonight. There's a pattern. By the way, these Gibeonites proved to be the ones that brought idolatry back to the Jews. These Gibeonites are the ones that ended up drawing the purity away from the Israelites. You see, these Gibeonites started mixing with the Jews. They started dating the Jews. Now you have an inner race of people. And it started destroying what God intended for the Jewish people in the Promised Land. I call the sermon tonight, Joshua Makes an Unholy Friendship. Number one, the Gibeonites deceived God's people. The Gibeonites deceived God's people. Listen to me very carefully. The Gibeonites are a picture of the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd will deceive you. The wrong crowd will deceive you. By the way, I don't care if the wrong crowd is supposed to be a Christian crowd, the world's crowd, they will deceive you. What do you think advertising is? Did you ever see the advertisements for the average alcohol commercial on television? You know, they show this big chunk of a guy, you know, this Hulk kind of fella, big, strong, got all the beautiful women around him. Go to the bar and find out how untrue that is. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They never show you the guy laying in his vomit. They never see you. They never show you the guy that's staggering down the road not knowing where he's at. They never show the guy that comes home and beats his wife and beats his children because he's drunk. They don't show you the mama sitting on the side of the road holding a little baby in her arms that doesn't have a head on it because he was drunk and hit her car and knocked the head off the child. They never show you the reality of it. They deceive you into drinking it, thinking that if you drink it, you'll be like that guy, only in your own mind. You see, the wrong crowd will do anything it takes to save their neck. They tell you what you want to hear. Young people, listen to me. The wrong crowd will tell you what you want to hear. Some of you that spent some time in the military, you know what I'm talking about? That guy called a recruiter, he lied to your face, didn't he? You'll travel the world in luxury. Define luxury. Define travel the world, amen? I'm not saying that you did the wrong thing by joining the military, but everybody that's ever gone in the military has told me, that recruiter lied to me. My dad joined the Air Force back in 1950, I don't know, something or other. He and his buddy that went to school together, they signed up together. They went to the recruiter's office together. Both went to the Air Force recruiter, and they said, look, we'll sign you up. You guys will go through boot camp together. You guys will join up. We'll get you together. The last time they saw each other is the day they left. My dad ended up in Kwajalein in the South Pacific. Paul ended up in Germany in Europe. They were as far away from each other as they could get, literally. They were halfway around the world from each other. They both said, man, that guy lied to me. You say, why? Because they'll do whatever it takes to get you in. You all know what I'm talking about. Did you ever go buy a car? You know, the used car salesman, even the new car salesman. Oh, you can afford this. We'll just add another 2 years of payment on it, but you can afford it. So instead of paying 4 years, you're paying 6 years and paying longer for something you really couldn't afford. You see, they'll lie to get their way. They will appear to be something different than they really are. The Gibeonites were trying to appear to be something that they really weren't. They said, we'll act like we came from a far country. We'll put our old clothes on. We'll carry dirty, nasty food. We'll bring spoiled food with us. We'll put our worst shoes on. You know, the shoes that you work in the garden in. Whatever. We'll wear the worst that we have. We'll appear to be something we're not in an effort to save our life. Folks, the wrong crowd will do that to you. Young people, listen to me. The wrong crowd will appear to have it all together. But they don't. They don't. The wrong crowd is tough as long as they think they can win. It's the old bully mentality. I probably shouldn't use a name, but I'm going to. When I was in school, I went to Redurban Elementary School, and then Pfeiffer Middle School, and I went to Edison Junior High School, and then I went to a Christian school. When I was in public school, starting in kindergarten, the meanest boy in the class was a boy named Dennis Hutton. That boy was a bully from day one. Let me tell you, you all know what I'm talking about. One of those kids that was just from day one, they were out to be the bully. That was Dennis Hutton. Dennis was the meanest kid I ever met in my life. Well, in third grade, I led Dennis to the Lord, but he never did go to church. Dennis continued to be a bully. We got to middle school, about sixth, seventh grade, and he was picking on every little guy there was. And, of course, I wasn't the biggest kid in the class. I did hold my own against him, but he didn't bother me a whole lot, but he was picking on one kid one day. No lie, the school was built, if you went up 13th Street, past Redurban, all the way up towards where the high school, the junior high, and the middle school buildings are, kind of in joining properties there in Perry Heights in Ohio. Pfeiffer Middle School sits back off the road a couple hundred yards, and it was literally designed after a prison. There's no windows in the school. They literally designed it after a prison. I mean, there are literally no windows in the whole school. It is a nasty place to go to school, let me tell you. It was brand new buildings, but Lord have mercy. Our bus was pulling out. Dennis didn't live too far away. He could walk to school from there. We got to towards the end, and of course the buses are lined up trying to get out of the property. And I looked over, probably about the length of this room away from where the buses were. Dennis was in a fight with a kid. Well, this little guy got a shot in and knocked Dennis down, tripped him. And the kid jumped up on top of the fence. And Dennis is standing there looking up at this kid on the fence and saying, come on. Well, this kid did one of those flying leaps, you know. Yeah! And when he came down, his fist caught Dennis right square in the chin. And he went down like a tree. Boom! And everybody on the bus is peeled to this side of the bus looking at it, you know. Bus driver, everybody sit down. We didn't pay attention. We're watching the fight, man. Somebody's whooping up on Dennis, amen. That little kid got on Dennis's chest, sitting on his chest going, diggity, 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 dog, man. He was letting him have it. And everybody on the bus is going, yeah, you know how it goes. I didn't condone it, but I was cheering, amen. Can I tell you something? Dennis Hutton never bothered that kid ever again. When he found out he couldn't whip him, guess what? He wasn't the tough guy. There was a whole bunch of people that saw the fight that he couldn't intimidate anymore. See, that's how the wrong crowd acts. They act real tough till you get in their face. liberals, doesn't matter whether they're liberal religiously, liberal politically, liberal morally, doesn't matter what area of life that they're liberal, they all act the same way. They really do. they all act the same. You know, I deal with religious liberals the same way you deal with political liberals. What did the political liberal say? Let's all just get together. We don't need God. God is many different names. He could be God. He could be Jehovah. He could be Buddha. He could be Mohammed. Any name you want to call him, they're all God. Does that not sound like our politicians today? What do you think the liberals of the religious world say? Let's all just get along. We can all get along. Folks, I'm not supposed to sit down across the table from somebody that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm not supposed to yoke up and associate with them. When Billy Graham started giving his follow-up to the Catholics and the Pentecostals and the Church of God and started associating with the wrong denominations, listen to me, that's when he had a fight with Dr. Bob Jones Sr. and Dr. John R. Rice back in the 1950s. Just so you know, Billy Graham is wrong. Now, Billy Graham has seen a lot of people saved. I'm not preaching against Billy Graham right now. But John Rice said, you're not doing it right, Billy. By the way, at that time, Billy Graham, listen to me, was one of the editors and on the board for the Sword of the Lord. He said, either you change your ways or you're off the board. He said, I'll leave the board. In the 1970s, Billy Graham was saying that there's no such thing as hell. Hell is just a word in the Bible. Hell is just a vacuum. I hate to tell you something, Billy Graham changed his doctrine in an effort to yoke up to get bigger crowds. Liberals are all the same. They appear to be like you, but they're more like the world. What's wrong with our Bible? It's close to the King James. It's what the religious crowd says. It's just another version of it. That's not true. It's not true. You know, I think it's funny. It cracks me up, Brother Pop. The liberals of religion say, you fundamentalists are just so shallow. But they've got to have a Bible that's easier to understand. I don't understand that. Amen, Brother Tom? This one's so much easier to understand. You want to call me shallow, and I use the harder one. Something's not right here. Moving on. Next. What do we do with the wrong crowd? I can tell you very easily. Say no to the wrong crowd immediately. Everybody say the word no with me. Ready? No. Let's try it one more time. Let's practice it. See if you can get it. Ready? No. Now, there were times as I was rearing my kids, I would tell them no. Guess what? They didn't get it the first time. I borrowed a term from somebody, not sure where I got it. Probably my dad, and probably his dad, and probably his dad, and probably all the way back to God the Father. I don't know, but I remember saying it many times. My kids are probably about to laugh right now. What part of no don't you understand, the N or the O? Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's a real easy word. No. You know, I don't have a problem saying that word. I don't get hurt feelings when I've got to tell somebody no. Ladies, let me tell you something. It's not always right for you to say yes. Fellas, it's not always polite to say yes. It is more polite for me to say no and not have constant battle with somebody than to say yes and fight with them every day of my life. I've been principal in two schools. I've been assistant to the vice president of a Bible college. And I never accepted anybody into a school that wasn't of like faith. I had a Pentecostal lady come to my office one day. She said, I want to put my child in your school. I said, ma'am, we only accept people that are of like faith. The sign out front says Baptist. We're Baptist. We teach Baptist doctrine. We're part of a Baptist church, and we only accept Baptist children. She said, we're close. I said, no, we're not. She said, well, what would you teach my child that's different in doctrine? I said, we would teach the doctrine of eternal security, that once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't work to get it. Once you've got it, you can't lose it. And she said, well, that's not a doctrine in the Bible. I said, that's exactly why your children won't be in our school. I said, I'd rather be unkind right now and say no to you than to have to fight you 180 days a year of school. I said, it is kinder for me to say no right now than have to fight with you every day your child is in our school. Guess what? She didn't put her child in our school. Was she mad at you? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't care. I'd rather offend her one time than have to offend her every day. My responsibility was to say no to the wrong crowd. By the way, I didn't want her children spreading wrong doctrine to your children and my children in the school. It was more polite to say no than it was to say yes and figure out how to deal with it. Why is that word so hard for some of us to say? No. Now, listen very carefully. The Christian should never even consider negotiating with the wrong crowd. I don't have to consider sitting down with the Southern Baptist pastors in town and decide whether or not I'm going to fellowship with them. The answer is no. Don't get mad at me. Everybody smile, okay? We're not going to have any national conferences at our church. I'm not a national conference person. Huh. Maybe I'll find a conference that I want to go to. If Brother Owens goes to Timbuktu, Alabama, and starts a church and going to have a conference, I might go support him. But please don't take this the wrong way. And he and I talked about this recently. What's he going to teach me at a conference that I haven't gotten in the last 27 years with him? I've helped him host untold number of national conferences. I might go to show my support for my friend. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a Catholic pilgrimage every year to go to a conference, because we got to go to a conference. I don't see a Bible conference in the scriptures anywhere. I'm doing okay. I don't need a conference to energize me. Just get me another cup of coffee. Here we go. Y'all couldn't handle me after a conference, amen? Good night. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a conference. There's not, and there's a purpose for it. I'm not a nationally known enough figure for us to draw people to come to our church for a conference. God's going to beat me over the head before we have one. Please don't do that. Lord have mercy. But may I say this, I'm not going to go to somebody else's conference just because they're having a conference either. I'm not going to try to keep peace with all the local pastors that are having conferences so that in case I need a buddy to go golfing with, I've got him. If you golf as bad as I do, you don't want a buddy there. Matter of fact, you don't want anybody there. You don't even want to be there sometimes. Amen, Brother Butch? Good night. You know, don't consider saying yes to them keeping peace. Remember a few weeks ago I preached a sermon on peace. Peace, peace when there is no peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It's the result of conflict. Peace is not having no fight. It's what happens after you won the fight. That means sometimes you got to say no to have peace, because it means you're going to fight a battle and win. I don't negotiate with the wrong crowd. I don't say, well, yeah, I'll let you in if you promise not to spread your doctrine to our kids. That's negotiating with the wrong crowd. Just say no. Just say no. It's real simple, folks. By the way, some of you negotiate with your children. It's time to lead them, not negotiate with them. Well, if you do this, I'll give you this. Folks, lead them. We live in a generation of whiny baby wimps. Well, what will you give me if I do this? The satisfaction of work. Wow, amazing concept these days, amen? they want us to be looked at as being unreasonable. You're unreasonable. You're hard-headed. Take Congress right now. You got a president that hasn't submitted a budget in 4 years, and he wants to blame everything on the Republicans for not accepting his budget that he hasn't proposed. And they're unreasonable. They won't negotiate. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Liberals are all the same. It doesn't matter whether they're religious, political, or morally speaking. They're all the same. Well, you're just unreasonable. Oh, I have family members that think I'm unreasonable. Trust me. You can't raise your kids that way. Guess what? Now they come to me and say, how'd you do that? Now they call me and say, my family's a mess. How do I fix it? I was unreasonable then. Now, how do I fix it? You see, the reason is they're going the wrong direction. Do you know that the North cannot associate with the South because they're two separate directions? I'm not talking about people from the North and people from the South. Okay? But the North and the South never meet. They're polar opposites. That's why the wrong crowd and the right crowd should not associate. God said, what hath light with darkness? What hath truth with Belial? Everybody doing okay? Fight the battle to keep your family away from the wrong crowd and the wrong influences. Fight the battle. If you've been coming on Wednesday nights, you come on Wednesday nights, I've been teaching on the devil, the different devices of the devil, the different job titles of the devil. This last Wednesday night, I hit the term dragon. Boy, you missed something if you missed it Wednesday night. You would be surprised how influential dragons are in our society. And I went through a little of it, but just so you know, and I'll say it again, martial arts deals with a dragon. You won't find a martial arts place anywhere that doesn't have dragons all over it. The Southeast Asian influence of the dragon, by the way, virtually all of them have a dragon that has a pearl near its mouth. That is a representation of the devil taking one of the gates of heaven with him. Study it. You'll find out I'm right. And the farther you get up into the martial arts, the more religious it becomes. Okay? Moving on. Keep your kids away from the wrong influences. I'm not saying it's wrong to let your kid learn karate and break boards and everything else, but shoot, never took karate, and I broke a lot of boards in my life. Not always with the part of the anatomy I wanted it broke with. My daddy broke a lot of boards on my anatomy. Amen? Next. Joshua sacrificed the latter for the immediate. Dr. Evans used to say it this way, don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Joshua sacrificed something down the road for an association right now. He forfeited something later to appease the crowd now. Listen to me very carefully. Look far enough ahead to see what your decision will be 10 years from now. Everybody doing okay? Yes, sir. I don't make my decision based on what's facing me today. The decision I make today, I must look down tomorrow, the next day, weeks, months, years, and decades down the road to decide, is that the right decision? So many of us make the decision, well, I'll buy this. I got the money in my wallet, so let's go ahead and buy it. And we don't look down the road to see that we've got a bill coming due or past due. You're spending money on something that you don't even have the money for, even though it might be in your possession. You see, we sacrifice down the road for something we got to have right now. You may need to stand and fight now to have peace later. I'll be honest with you. I don't like to fight. I'm not a fighter by nature. I know you find that hard to believe. But I'm not. I like peace. You come to my house, it's pretty peaceful. But when there's war needed, we'll have war. I'm not afraid to fight. I just don't like to fight. Peace now may mean a bigger war later. Come here, Peter. This is my buddy. Come on up here. Sometime, ain't he cute? Thank God he looks like his mother. This is my buddy. Can I tell you what? If you'll fight the battle when they're this size. Jeff, come on up here. I won't make you say anything. Come on up here. It's easier fighting a battle. Come here. When they're this size than it is when they're this size. Some of you aren't fighting the battle with this size. And when they get this size, you got all hands on deck and you're going to lose. You better learn to fight the battle at this age, so that you don't have to fight the battle at this age. You can have a seat. You can have a seat. Thanks. I wish you could have been in here this morning after church. I came out of my office. Peter comes up to me, Brother Bush. He's got a track in his hand. He said, that tie you got on, that's the same tie you got on in the picture and track. I didn't know that. I looked down and said, sure is. Wow. Shazam. Amen. I loved it. Now, wait a minute. Some of you are going to let your kids do when they're this size and disobey you, and you're trying to avoid conflict at this age. There comes a time where you're going to have conflict. You better fight the battle when they're too little to fight back. By the way, them little boogers, when they're that size, they can get pretty stubborn because they got our blood in them, amen? But I'd rather fight the battle with something that size than that size any day of the week. Some of you are waiting to fight your battles at the wrong time. Parents, if you listen to me, I just helped you. By the way, when they do get that size, you keep fighting the battle because they're going to find out whether you believe it or not. No still means no at 17. Everybody doing okay? Well, he's got keys to the car. He's paying some of his own bills. Yeah, and no still means no. You still follow the rules of the house or there's consequences. Been doing it for 17 years. We're not changing it now. We're going to find out what you men are made of when your daughter gets old enough to start choosing what she wears and how long, how short, how tight, or how low. Everybody doing okay? We'll find out what you're made out of. If you said no all along, everything's okay. I loved it. My daughter was recently going to wear something. She came to me and said, Dad, can I wear this? I said, I don't know. I got to see it on you. There's times I'll look at my daughter and say, you're not walking out of this house that way. Well, I did before, yeah, but you've grown since then. Not happening. That doesn't mean she's a bad person. You just got to keep fighting the battle. Everybody doing all right? You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be nasty about it, but you got to stay the course. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, those people that you work with, they're going to find out whether you're consistent or not. That means you show up on time all the time, not just sometimes. Some of you want to be Holy Joe, but you can't hold your job because you don't get there enough. I'll find out how holy you are by what your work ethic is. Boy, it's getting a little warm in here. Some of you want fun now and work later. God says you work now and have fun later. Can I tell you something? God says you can't have fun till you work first. Some of you want to eat now and work later. God says you work, then you eat. Earn the money, buy the food. Our government says, well, we care about people, so we'll just give it to you and you don't have to work. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Now, the people that don't work live better than the people that do work. Boy, that's good stuff. Some people want to have fun now. Brother Logue, playing with the kids is fun. But when they get that size, they don't want to tickle anymore. They want bigger toys that cost more. Bicycle that you rebuilt and playing with G.I. Joes and Army men, at that age, man, it's great. Wooden guns and rubber band shooting guns, but when they get that size, they want real guns with real bullets. And those aren't as cheap. You can't cut it out of a block of wood and have fun. You can only, with a 17-year-old, go, okay, pull out your toy gun, let's go boom, 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 and have fun. At this age, we can do that, amen? They want the ones that go real boom, 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 amen? And the bigger boom, the better. Now, hang on there. If you'll listen to me, sometimes they got to pay the price. You got to teach them that every time they pull that trigger, how much that bullet cost, amen? You start making them buy the bullets. They don't pull the triggers often. I got to earn the money to pay for that one. We got this thing backwards. Parents, listen to me. You can ask my wife. Some of the best friends I have in the world are my parents and her parents. Some of you want to be buddies with kids. No, you be a dad. You be a mom. As they turn into adults, the relationship will mature into a friendship. Some of you want to be their buddy, and you're trying to act with a 16-year-old like you were when you're 16, and they're thinking, gag, this is bad, Dad. You're not 16 anymore. They don't need a buddy. By the way, they need a friend that'll tell them the truth. I'm glad I have friends that say, you're about to screw up. That's not right. I picked friends that intimidated me. Can I tell you why? Because they kept me going the right direction. Some of you aren't going to keep your kids going the right direction because you'll be a friend before you'll be a dad or a mom. You tell them the truth no matter what. You lead them the right direction whether you hurt the relationship or not. My kids know I'm going to do right whether they do or not. By the way, I've lived it. I've proven it. Trust me. It's not always easy. Boy, that's good stuff. Listen to this next statement. A no decision is often a decision for the wrong crowd. Saying, well, I'm not going to make a decision about that. I'll wait. Is generally a decision in favor of the wrong crowd. Guess what? When somebody attacks my friend, I jump. I'm going to jump in the fight. I'll find out later why I fought. I have no problem with that. Somebody goes after the man of God, I'm fighting whoever's going after the man of God. I'll stand for the man of God. I'll find out whether I was right later, but I'm right for standing for him. I'm not going to stand back and say, well, I'll wait and see who's right, and then I'll jump on the right side. Gag. When people jumped on Brother Hiles, amen, Brother Hawkins, I didn't have to wonder which side I was on. Sign me up, I'm there. Just the way it was going to be. When somebody jumped on my home pastor, guess what? I landed on his side immediately. I didn't wait to find out whose side we were going to be on. Right. You know. That's the way some of you make your decisions. Somebody jumped on Brother Owens. Guess what? I'll lead the charge. Here we go. Say, was he always right? Was Brother Hiles always right? Nobody's always right. We're not God. But bless God, they're going the right direction. Let's fight with them. Not against them. Let's not wait and see. These people that wait and see which side ends up being successful, that's your fence straddlers. My daddy taught me a long time ago, you straddle a fence long enough, you're going to cut certain parts of your anatomy you shouldn't cut. Your britches are going to split. Guess what? People that straddle the fence on relationships end up splitting their britches. They end up getting hurt. And when you are too weak to make a decision, and you say, well, I'll just wait, you're more apt to become a casualty. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about here. Do you know what the root word of casualty is? Casual. They become too casual in making a decision. Some of you can't make a decision. Your decision maker doesn't work. Now, I can make a decision. There's times I choose not to. My wife will tell you, there's times I'll just say, honey, I don't care what we eat. I don't need to make any more decisions today. What she feeds me, I will swallow. You know, one of these million-dollar ideas, Brother Williamson, I think we ought to make a restaurant chain called I Don't Care. Come up with some little novelty, you know, you pick, you know, and have some kind of unique little novelty menu. Can you imagine how much money you'd make on that? Because that, you know, where do you want to go to eat? I don't care. Man, you could make a lot of money at something like that. Come see me. As long as I share in the profits, amen? Tithe, we'll be okay. Now, hang in there. Listen to me. Some of you couldn't make a decision. Ladies, I'm sorry. It took me about that long to decide what to wear this morning. Lord, what suit do you want me to wear? Okay, that one. Here we go. What shirt? That one. Here we go. Some of you all have had 6 outfits on before you wore the one you wore this morning, and then 7 more before you wore the one tonight. God bless you. I don't have trouble making a decision. Where's Kyle at? There he is. He knows. I had to go somewhere. It's taking him home one day. I said, I got to go in here, get something. I'll be right back out. I forget what I was even buying. I know what it was. A car charger for my new phone. I walked into the store, knew exactly where it was, walked there, that one, walked over to the register, paid for it, and I was back out. I had 2 people in front of me at the register. It had been even faster. I didn't have to look at every one of them. I didn't have to study them. I didn't have to go to the other part of the store to see if they had any others. I knew exactly where they were, what I wanted, grabbed it, went out. That's called shopping man style, amen? No problem. I don't have problems making a decision. Now, there's times I'll help you make decisions. There's times I won't make a decision for you because it's not mine to make. Hey, teenager, you're getting ready to graduate from high school? I can't tell you what to do with your life. I can guide you in a direction, but I'm not about to tell you what God's will is for your life. You have to decide that. Somebody will say, well, what's God's will for my life? I don't know. Go find out. I'm not God. I can't tell you. I can give you principles by which to live and principles by which to help make those decisions, but I'm not going to play God in your life. Everybody doing okay? When you sit there and don't make a decision, you're allowing the wrong crowd to increase in strength. And often not deciding anything allows the wrong crowd to be the crowd that you'll fall on. Oh, keep the pressure on. They'll keep the pressure on you long enough to where you go back to the wrong crowd. I've alluded to this. I'll finish with this. Some of you, Some of you, the internet is a dangerous thing that you ought to rip out of the wall of your house. Can I tell you why? You're associating with people that you haven't associated with in a long time, and you shouldn't be associating with them. Well, I want to find somebody I went to high school with 40 years ago. Why? If you haven't talked to him in 40 years, what do you need to talk to him about now? I'm sorry. I graduated from high school a long time ago. Good night. 1989. I'm trying to figure out how long ago that was. 20. Yeah. Long time ago. Good night. Guess what? There's some people I haven't seen since graduation night. Why do I want to go online and find out how miserable their life is right now? If I haven't talked to them in the last 25 years, guess what? I don't need to talk to them. Well, don't you have a curiosity about what they're doing and what they're like? No, I got too much going on in my life to worry about somebody else's that I haven't seen in 25 years. It really doesn't affect me. My life is not going to be altered because I don't know what George is doing. It's not going to bother me at all that I don't know what Wayne Boldry is doing. It's not going to bother me that I don't know what Jim is doing. Not at all. I haven't heard from him in a lot of years. I can go the rest of my life and not know what happened. I guess when we get to heaven, I'll find out. Some of you go back to the wrong crowd and allow them to influence you, and you're going back. Why don't you spend that time walking with God? Instead of being on Facebook, why don't you get your face in that book and spend that time in there and let God lead you? Folks, Joshua made an unwise decision, yoked up with the crowd he shouldn't have yoked up with, and caused an awful lot of people a lot of hurt. He didn't count the cost of that decision of making an unwise association and how it would destroy generation after generation after generation after generation of young people. 60 seconds, I'll close. I used to work a lot of national conferences. I worked pastor's schools with Brother Hiles. My children have letters in their baby books that I would write for every day of the week of a pastor's schools that I'd work, because I wouldn't see my kids for 5, 6, 7 days while they were awake. I was gone 20, 21 hours a day, would never see them unless for some reason they were sitting in the service and I could see them across the auditorium for 7 days. I would write my children letters. My wife will tell you this is true. My kids, as they get older and they read their letters later in life, they'll find out it's true. I would say in those letters, Daddy can't be with you this week. And I'm giving my life because possibly the pastor that will pastor, the person that will be your husband or be your wife, is in this room. I'm giving everything I can to potentially your future spouse. Last week we went to Kentucky. My son's getting a little bit more serious about a certain young lady. He's got that calf looking at a Newgate look. And she's got it back. Do you know that her pastor sat under the influence of those pastor schools that I worked, that her daddy now works for that pastor? During those years that I put time in, God allowed me to help influence the pastor of potentially somebody one of my children may marry someday, or is at least dating. You know, I had a lot of confidence as I thought, wow, how did I know all those years ago? The result of something that might happen. Guess what? It was worth it. I don't have any regrets. How about you? Who are you associating with that 15 years from now, you're going to say, boy, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't ought have done that. What decision will you make today that generations from now could be devastating? That one decision to go with the wrong person and go get drunk or go get high or commit immorality, and it'll ruin the rest of your life and generations to come. Just one decision. Just one decision. Joshua made one bad decision. Made a league and brought idolatry back to the children of Israel. One decision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We all have friends that have changed. We all have people in our life that have changed. I'm not saying not be their friend. I'm just saying don't spend any time being influenced by them. Let's be cautious in our associations.